The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the Omicron freakout. Hospitals, are they really overrun? Well, there's some conflicting data about this. We're going to go through the truth, separate fact from fiction, and why are these governments like freaking out about this, which, I don't know, you know, some people saying this is just like having a cold, a simple cold. So more on that coming up in the show.
And should social media companies be censorship companies? Well, we've seen them take on that role to no great effect, and we're going to continue to do so. We're going to talk about their role as this continues to be concerning.
Yes. And the CIA, did the CIA, was it mostly responsible for the assassination of JFK? Oliver Stone is out with his new documentary, and quite a few of his critics are now coming forward saying, you know what, Oliver, you were right, and we were wrong. And the data is overwhelming that the Warren Commission report was an absolute cover-up and a hoax. So we're going to look at what Oliver Stone is saying and the new data around the CIA and JFK. Are you ready to get uncomfortable on this Wednesday morning?
Yes.
I am. It's time for Morning Invest to start right now. All right. Welcome in to Morning Invest on this Wednesday. Let's get right to it this morning and start with your news roundup, because the markets are on edge this morning as we await the Fed's inflation decision today. That is going to happen, folks, at 2 p.m. Eastern. Chairman Powell, seen right there in a polished shirt and a spanking nice Wall Street tie, is expected to announce a dramatic policy shift today that's going to clear the way for the very first interest rate hike next year. Good. They've been at 0%, artificially low, while all of these banks are making billions of dollars and you and I are getting screwed. Many experts believe that we're going to see at least 2 interest rate hikes next year and another 3 to 4 interest rate hikes in 2023. Finally, it's about time. So get ready for higher interest rates, but that will actually be commensurate with what's happening with inflation. So these artificially low interest rates have been hurting us big time. Markets are anticipating that the Fed will speed up the wind down purchasing of its bond program, that they're going to change that date to March instead of June. So Wall Street is getting ready. Oh my God, Uncle Sam is not going to be sending us $120 billion a month anymore. What are we going to do? What are we going to do for allowance, mommy? Basically, the Fed is going to admit that they were wrong today. They're going to admit that inflation is not just transitory, but that it's actually here for quite a while. It's going to be here for a while. Your prices of things are going to continue to go up. So will they admit they were wrong? Will they actually come out and say, you know what, we're sorry, I apologize? I doubt it, though, but we'll see. Also today, Mark Meadows not having a good holiday season. The U.S. House voted yesterday to proceed with contempt of court charges against President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Meadows was cooperating with the January 6th House Select Committee for, you know, a hot minute before he got wind that they might be looking into 2020 election fraud. Now, what do we mean by that? Rich Allen, one of our viewers, wrote to me this morning and said, Clayton, can you explain what you mean by 2020 election fraud? Like, what specifically were they looking at? Well, specifically, they're looking at, was President Trump and his team looking to undermine the election results? asking Vice President Pence to not certify election results, to only certify those electoral votes they deemed, they felt personally, were accurate and reflected the will of the people. So once he learned about this, that that's what the Select Committee is looking at, then he's quiet now. He zipped it up, and he says that he's not going to be there for his, he wasn't going to be there for his scheduled deposition. So that reversal didn't happen before he handed over thousands of documents, including those texts from January 6th from messages from Fox News hosts. Quote, Mark, the president needs to tell the people at the Capitol to go home. This is hurting all of us. He's destroying his legacy, wrote Laura Ingraham of Fox News. Please get him on television, destroying everything you have accomplished, Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends wrote. And Trump Jr. sent a text message to Mark Meadows saying, he's got to condemn this stuff, crap, bleep, ASAP. Committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney believes these and other text messages from the U.S. lawmakers to Meadows show that the White House knew exactly what was happening at the Capitol and is trying to prove Trump's supreme dereliction of duty for failing to act. So we'll see more on that. Millennials, you hear about this story on homeownership. You know, you've been seeing these homeowners, these home prices over the past year skyrocketing. Millennials now, I'm just going to get my millennials video here. I should just get just a video of like kids or 20.
Millennials are older than that, though. They're like young adults.
Yeah, they're young adults, right? I mean, are they, though? If you were born in, like if you were born in, let's see.
I think it's about 1985 to, oh, 1981
to 1996. So millennials now account for over 50% of all home purchases. Now, this was the generation, the millennials were the generation we heard from just a few years ago. It was all about minimalism, right?
And no, they're not.
And they wanted to live in 200 square foot apartments or tiny homes, right? That's these people. David, aren't you technically a millennial? No, you're not a millennial.
No, I'm definitely not.
You're a baby boomer. You're one of the greatest generation.
You're not
aren't
a
you?
Baby boomer.
I'm after baby boomer. Whatever was right after that.
Greatest generation. I'm Gen X. And by the way, thank you for your service in World War II. For those people that were born between the years 1981 to 1996, known as millennials, they've reached a housing milestone, accounting for half of all home purchase loans last year. Because of this demand, economists say that home sales will likely remain strong for years to come. They are driving up prices like never before. And the median price of an existing home sold in October was $354,000. That seems accessible to every American, right? $354,000 price tag. That's up 13% from a year ago. That's a new record. And the prices for homes have climbed 116 straight months in the United States. Boom, they just keep going up. And for the first time in, let me see, where's my little, I'm trying to find my little dingus here.
For the first time in forever. I'm so ready for this change.
Okay, there we go. And for the first time in 20 years, smoking rates are on the rise. We could be blaming a new tax on nicotine vaping, which Democrats have tried to inject into the Build Back Better bill. It would drag more than 2.5 million Americans back to cigarettes. According to National Institutes of Health funded academic research, that's where these people would go if vaping is outlawed. Just weeks ago, the Food and Drug Administration effectively outlawed nearly all vaping products, though they've proven to be the single most effective method to quit smoking that's ever been created. More than like, maybe, but I guess Chantix is still fine, right? So pharmaceutical drug Chantix, I'm sure they'll still be fine with. But if you want to use vaping materials to get off of cigarettes, sorry, the FDA is about to put the kibosh on that. More than 400,000 Americans lose their lives each year to smoking-related illnesses, while not one person, according to the data, has died from vaping nicotine. Yet groups like the American Lung Association, the American Medical Association, have called for a total ban on vaping products, but say nothing about the spike in cigarette smoking, even though vaping taxes and bans are directly correlated with increased smoking rates, according to the data. There's little wonder that stocks for the leading tobacco companies this morning, I checked them, Philip Morris, up. Isn't it a surprise? All these tobacco companies, like, they're doing well this morning. Stocks are rising, and analysts are bullish that vaping crackdowns will continue that trend. So goodbye to vaping. Now more people are going to be smoking.
Wait, who says nobody's died from vaping?
According to the Center
the
for
the National American, Health Institute?
American Medical Association. Yeah, no one's died from vaping. Specifically vaping.
Because the CDC just last year said that there were vaping-related injuries.
Okay, well, what does that mean? But no one's
injuries
died from it.
Injuries to lungs.
But we know that 400,000 people a year die from cigarette smoking. So, okay, what would you rather have? Zero or 400,000?
Right, I'm not saying, I have no firsthand opinion of either thing, but the CDC has warned that vaping is not the best.
No, I don't think it's the best, but it's certainly better than smoking.
Clearly.
Right? And if this is an opportunity for people to get off of cigarettes, transitioning away from that, and then eventually, hey, like the Federal Reserve is doing, tapering. Like, you know, taper yourself off of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. I wonder what those statistics were about, because we had it in the newsletter recently that there were an increase in vaping-related deaths, but those are vaping-type injuries, I suppose.
Maybe you're vaping and you're walking and you trip and you fall, you know?
I don't know. That's very specific.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Well, let's talk about COVID deaths, which do not seem to be increasing with the Omicron variant, but hospitalizations do continue. And nobody really knows about the, what?
Nothing. I'm just looking at you.
You went like this.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I was trying to introduce the story here.
I was fixing my shirt.
You guys don't know how much off camera he gives me this. Don't do that. Say that.
See if you can do the news
while
I do this.
What would you like?
See if you can do the news while I just do this.
We're going to tell you about the Omicron. No, this is a serious story.
Okay, do it.
Hang on. All right, we're going to tell you about the Omicron variant right now, which does seem to be more contagious than previous variants of the coronavirus. Now, researchers in South Africa, where the variant started, are assuring us that where the variant has been for more than 3 weeks, hospitalizations are not more necessary than previous variants. They also are pointing to data that says that Omicron infects whoever it pleases, really, vaccinated, unvaccinated. They do say that vaccinated people are less likely to suffer infection from the virus, but still can carry it, of course. We've known that about the vaccine all along. In the United States, the Delta variant continues to lead to most hospitalizations currently. But experts are saying right now, Omicron is taking over the vaccination, the case numbers in the UK, that is about to happen in early January to the US.
And, you know, meanwhile, the Biden administration is like they're warning we're about to have a COVID explosion. You better get ready in the United States. You better be ready. We've gotten certain states now, or certain areas, certain cities that are going back to mask mandates indoors. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to get ready for lockdowns again around the world. Of course, we're hearing what's going on in the UK. I like Boris Johnson's take on this, because he's like, look, we've had one death from Omicron. We don't obviously want our hospitals overwhelmed, but we're watching it closely. We're watching the data. We want to be transparent about it. Good. But in the United States, you know, Biden officials are warning that COVID explosion is imminent. And this is what we're seeing across the board right now from mainstream media, is that that they're saying that we better be ready because we might have to go back into lockdowns again. But then you have other reports coming out, like in Britain, saying Omicron may be no worse than the flu. Not really bad at all. Just a simple, it might be maybe even less worse than the flu. Nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about. And
that doctor in South Africa, when it first hit there, she's like, everybody calm down. She's like, it's like, you know, like they're talking how each variant
nobody wants to calm down.
Yeah. No, and in fact, she says, you know, because a lot of questions about, or what about the hospital situation right now? This is the big concern, right? So, and that's what Dr. Campbell and others have been saying, is we want to make sure that the hospitals aren't overrun, so that we're able to still carry out surgeries for trauma and other cases. We don't want to have our ICU beds overtaken. So South Africa, of course, where this thing was born, came out of that area, should have been overwhelmed, right? The hospitals should have been overwhelmed. And what South African officials are saying is, no, the hospitals were kind of fine here. Hmm. We've had deaths. We've had a few deaths. I think 11 total in South Africa.
Well, like, I think, unfortunately, I believe that the media hype and the hype that people get, it makes you, like, if you get now a little minor cold, you're like, oh my gosh, I think I have COVID. I'm going to the doctor. You know what I mean? It's like they just hype it up so much. And it's like, if they would just be like, look, they would give us actual data and say, look, it's not as bad as the others. You know, maybe you have it, but it's like, if they just educated people and told them what to really expect, they could probably keep that from happening.
Well, the CDC is out there with this major warning overnight, which is that we could be in for a tidal wave Omicron spreading rapidly in the United States and could bring punishing wave as soon as January, the CDC warns. But again, in South Africa specifically, where that doctor we were just talking about talks about these beds, listen to what she says about what's happening right now in South Africa, the hotbed of where this has come over the past few weeks, and what does the hospitalization rate look like there?
Saying that there will be sick patients, that's not what we're saying. We say the majority is mild. There's no need to hospitalize any of these mild cases. There's no need. And these patients recover within about 5 days, whether you are a child, whether you are 80 years of age, whether you've been vaccinated, whether you have not been vaccinated, whether you have suffer from mild diseases, other comorbidities. This is what we see. This is the real life. This is the real experience that we are having. And if we have seen that there are really severe diseases and cytokine storms, everyone was afraid that that might happen 2 to 3 weeks later. Well, in primary healthcare, we passed that 3 weeks and we haven't seen it. Again, highly contagious. Yes, you can have 1 million cases. You can have even more than that because it's highly contagious. But the severity of the disease is not Delta. It is mild disease. And yes, you will get people that's going to be sick, but it will be the minority. Our ICUs at this stage is not full. Our hospitals, public sector hospitals, one or two of the hospitals say that they are seeing an increase, but they don't have a lot of beds. Primarily COVID-19, as we have seen with Delta, and I've said this before, between day 5 and day 7, we had to see the patients back because the cytokine storm normally happens about from...
All right, so beds are not overrun.
No.
You know,
and most people don't need to be hospitalized,
right,
in South Africa. And that seems to also be the case in the UK. So as this begins to roll around other countries, it's for cooler heads to prevail and not rush right to the hospital with a positive diagnosis, which I'm going to say you want to do, right? It's scary to see a positive diagnosis, especially with our cases. We home tested and we were like, what? Should we go right now? You know, you have to be in contact with your medical professionals and see what your own case is. But to freak out and run to the hospital, right, is not the thing to do right now when we're, unless you absolutely, sorry about that.
Sorry, Grover's
well, Grover is freaking out about it.
That screen again, like she's talking about how it's, you know, not that bad, but look at what that says in the text. Study shows
that they will be sick patients.
Surge in deaths.
Right, right. By the way, I don't have a mute button on this PreSonos, do I?
You do.
So that you guys don't hear Grover.
Because I used to be able to do that before. Now I don't have a mute button.
You do. I just can't remember how to do it.
Oh, okay. We'll figure it out after the show. We don't need to do it now. But yeah, so that it says right there on the screen, Omicron variant. What does it say? Omicron variant suggests surge in deaths.
And she's suggesting the very opposite.
The very opposite. But this is how the mainstream media does it, you know?
What you're saying, David, then, is this is a misleading headline because you don't have to actually listen to what she's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look at this. I mean, here's an AP story this morning. Banner Health System warns Arizona hospitals stretched to the limit. So why, you know, do we, when you go through the piece, it doesn't say in here that there it's Omicron related. It just says simply COVID-19.
Well, right? As some, I guess, demographers sort of point out, they're not demographers, but people who study the population are saying that right now in the United States, the major variant is still Delta. And Delta is, by most research standards, a harder virus.
Right.
It's harsher. So that seems to be the reason.
Well, why not put that in the headline, right? Because you have to I literally did a search. You have to go all the way down in the article to finally find that the Delta variant continues to make up the majority of infections. Okay. So, but all of the talk is around Omicron. Look, it's all the way buried. Why don't you say Banner Health warns Arizona hospital stretched to limit, Delta variant to blame. Wouldn't that be a good headline?
I suppose.
Right.
Maybe they didn't. They ran out of ink.
They ran out of ink in cyberspace. They just couldn't afford it.
I took a course in my journal when I was a journalism student where we had to like calculate headlines based on the size of the column because this was back in newspaper days, and I could not figure out the formula because it was like certain ones were worth so much points and the other ones, it was too hard to do. But with the internet, there's no excuse. No one has to learn that analog way.
Yeah.
So yes, they could be telling us that Omicron is coming. And maybe, I'm going to tell you as someone who had COVID, once you're recovered, you do feel better about it because you've got some immunity in you. And so maybe anyone who's thinking, well, I mean, anyone who's recovered from Omicron in this moment, right, feels better about the world than anyone who's yet to got it, to get it.
Right.
Of course that's the way, right? And so again, it's for us to maintain level heads and say, okay, does this really need to affect our economy right now? Should politicians be acting conservatively? Or should they wait it out? Of course, politicians should have a plan in place, but a plan doesn't necessarily make anybody safer. In 2019, the federal government went through pandemic training and implemented none of that when 2020 hit. So, you know, are we is this really up to politicians to save us? No, it's up to you. It's up to your own health, and your own immunity matters. What you eat matters. What you drink matters, right? That's where we're at right now.
Yeah. And we talked yesterday on the show about why certain countries, you know, are just healthier. They've, you know, they haven't been stung by it as badly because they are, you know, they're outside, they're eating healthy, they're exercising. And so we have, we're the fattest country in the world.
Also, South Africa is a younger country. Or a younger region of the world in general.
I should point out that this Arizona story, specifically Banner Health Systems, says that nearly 90% of the people that they're treating for this COVID Delta in the hospital, in the ICU, are unvaccinated. 90% of those that they are treating in the hospital in Arizona that is overrun are unvaccinated. They said some days the percentage of unvaccinated COVID-19 patients in intensive care has been 100%. So they are saying Banner patients, Banner healthcare system is saying vaccinations were the key to reducing the burden on healthcare workers. Yesterday, in fact, you had a doctor taking out a full page ad in the New York Times, begging, because he works at a hospital, begging people to go get a vaccine because they said their healthcare workers are just, they literally are exhausted. They can't even like stand up straight anymore because they're dealing nonstop with, you know, with cases.
So, meanwhile, world leaders,
they care about them. They care about the healthcare workers as long as they're vaccinated.
Yeah, right? Otherwise they get fired.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, global leaders cannot come to any consensus on when a booster or any booster should be given. In some countries, they're recommending between 3 months after your official vaccine. In some countries, they're saying 6. There really is no data about it. This quote from Paul Offit, director of the Vaccine Education Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, one of the best children's hospitals in the United States, says, the question is, what is the goal of this vaccine? Because people are not necessarily testing their antibodies before they go get it. They just go get it, right? And so the argument is, are you taking vaccines away from other nations who are not having the chance to have access? Or are you actually doing your body any good by doing this, right? That there's no real science in, so people are just deciding, well, I'll get a booster if I can find it. You know?
And then you look at like the J&J shot specifically. There's news out this morning about the J&J shot. Like, so the J&J shot loses full antibody protection against the Omicron in a new study. 100%. Like if you had the J&J shot, like I did.
Mm-hmm. Then
the crappy J&J shot.
Like to me, I just feel like it's a little bit of logical thinking to be like, okay, so if they like, if there's not that many cases of Omicron or whatever in the U.S. yet, where are they getting the stuff to test it against anyway? Like are they having it flown in from all these places and they're testing it? And like, you know, it hasn't been tested on people yet. It hasn't been peer reviewed or anything. So it's like we're taking the word of these corporations that are financially, you know, like they make money off of this stuff. And it's like, that's the only people we're listening to. They're the only people that are giving us information. And they're like, oh, you just got to get 3 boosters and that'll take care of Omicron.
Well, so we're listening to these Pfizer guys. Yeah. I mean, yesterday I saw like 6 headlines come through on some of my different, I get notifications all day from different news stories. And I saw like 5 or 6 different notifications come through yesterday about Pfizer chief says this about theirs booster. And so Okay, so with the head of Pfizer is telling us that that's what, and then we then the newspaper just runs with it? Like, that's what they're saying, they just run with it. That's their headline.
Yes. They have full authority to say whatever they want.
They just regurgitate whatever these pharmaceutical company CEOs say.
So while Elon Musk can say nothing to affect his own company's stock share, right? CEOs of pharmaceutical companies can say whatever they want and affect their own company's
stock share. Oh, yeah, Pfizer. Because if you watched yesterday after this happened, Pfizer stock, you know, zoom.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's instantaneous. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Happening. Now, Dr. John Campbell, who we follow on YouTube and seems to be one of those cooler heads prevail type scientists.
He just focuses on the data unemotionally.
He did say that in Norway, they have extremely good genetic testing. So they are able to test the variant against the person who had that which vaccine. Right. And so there are some countries that are able to track who had which vaccine and who is becoming infected as a result. So there is way to have this data. I absolutely agree with you, David, though, that we should not take Pfizer's word for it. They're not necessarily motivated to tell us the truth, and they have not behaved ethically in the past.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, all of the studies that you're reading on these websites and everything are coming from those. And one of the, you know, it's like I was having a conversation with a friend, and every document that he shared with me, it would say at the bottom, you know, this news source. And it was all from the pharmaceutical companies. And so they're saying that they're not going to release the test data to show how they come up with those numbers and everything until 2025. It's like when you have these companies that are hiding stuff, and then the FDA itself says they're not going to release how they bypassed phase three of trials in order to get it approved. In phase three, rather than going through all the phases until 2055, like, this, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, why is this happening?
You know, it doesn't make sense. And then you have, you know, data coming out saying that this thing is no worse than the flu. So my bigger question is, why are we talking about lockdowns? Why are we shutting businesses down again? Like, we saw what this happened before. I mean, I guess if you understand this idea of this war on small businesses, and you know that when Walmart goes into a town, their goal is to eradicate the other competition in the town, right? That's their goal, right? They want
all the... That documentary disgusted me.
Yeah, that's their goal. They go into these towns and they celebrate it. They want these other small businesses destroyed. And what the government did is basically gave them a free pass. It's like it cleared the forest for them, cleared the brush out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're going to close down the government. We're going to close down the economy. All the small businesses will be crushed, and we will just funnel money right to the big businesses. So now Walmart, Target, all of you guys are fine. You guys can shoulder this burden. The small guys are out of your way, and they're totally destroyed and crushed. And that's what we're seeing happening all over again, right before our eyes.
Well, and that's why I think everybody needs to watch Dope Sick, because if you want to see the parallels to me when I was watching that were just like amazing, like uncanny. And it's like, if you want to see how complicit the FDA is in how they helped this drug company get the opioid crisis, like they were helping them make it worse. And it was all about profits, and the FDA just completely helped them do it and remained silent until they absolutely had to do something because there was overwhelming evidence to go against it.
Well, yeah. You think about the government taking away personal property, right? Which is your store, your business, your ability to make money. The legally, if they take something from you, they have to compensate. They didn't
through the eminent domain laws, right?
They did not do that with businesses. So the governments are saying, we're taking away your business because it may cause other people to get COVID, right? But the government won't take away anything that will hurt itself or anyone who donates to the government, like candy or alcohol or plastics or bisphenol or palm oil. You're going to have to stop me because I can just keep going.
Well, and right? There's people that run the FDA are from pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Right. Oh, the FDA, you want to, I mean, just as an example of how, not to go down a rabbit hole, but I am reading this book called Woke Incorporated right now. And a really fascinating section of the book talks about the FDA and why, you know, all of these big drug companies are scared of the FDA because they know they don't want to piss off the FDA. There's a new law that was passed recently called the Right to Try Law, which means if you, like President Trump, get COVID and go into a hospital, you have the right to try the Regeneron cocktail, right? No other American had access to what President Trump got when he went to Walter Reed Medical. He called up his friend, who is a member of his golf course, who is the head of Regeneron, and said, I'd like to try this cocktail that you've created, which attacks, goes right after the virus. It's a cocktail of antibodies. I'd like to try this. And no American, not me, not anybody else, could get access to this. It's under the right to try law, though. I could. But no drug company is going to make this allowable because they fear, the FDA hates the right to try law, which means I have a right to try something even if it hasn't been approved by the FDA yet. And the FDA hates it, hates the right to try law. And so these companies are going to say, I'm not going to do this. We're not going to go against the FDA, because when we want to then pass an actual drug later on, the FDA will likely sit on their hands and we won't get it passed by the FDA and the FDA approval. So even though it's on the books in Congress, the right to try law, the FDA just sort of sits back with, it's like, oh yeah, you're going to really try that?
And pharmaceuticals will lobby like heck against it.
Well, yeah. And that's, so I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Dr. Brzezinski, but he was a cancer doctor in Texas, and he was actually curing 80% of his patients with vitamin B12 or D or something. I can't remember what the vitamin was, but it was something that naturally occurs in our body. And the FDA sued him over and over again, stole all his research, and like put this guy through hell because they were lobbied by, pharmaceutical companies, because they didn't want a cure for cancer. Like it's like 80% of his patients were cancer free. And you had people testifying in Congress saying, look, this guy cured my son. The main doctors gave him like 4 months to live. We took him to Brzezinski, and now he's like, 18 years old, has survived. And they just put this guy through the ringer. So the FDA, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like they're yeah, like bullies. Like, this is an organization that we trust when there was somebody that had a cure for cancer.
Jason Frank in our chat says the FDA, the CDC, Big Pharma is about all of, is about the money. Yeah. Yeah. And Ula Hula says Omicron symptoms include headache to mild flu symptoms.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of, that's the same with any natural medicine, right? Any kind of, for instance, you can't put a patent on lavender or anything that's naturally occurring, but you can patent a synthetic version of it, which is why we get, pharmaceutical, laboratory created type synthetics that are meant to mirror things that already exist in nature. So it's, it's upsetting.
All right. Tell us about our show sponsor. We got more news to get to here.
Shall
on the show.
Just give me 1 second. I want to tell you about our show sponsor over at Grammarly. Grammarly is a program that allows you to install into your browser or your email client or wherever you write text, and helps you with your grammar, your diction, and also your sentence structure. So for instance, if you tend to write in the passive voice, like I do quite a bit, Grammarly will say, are you sure you want to do that quite so passively? And it suggests to you a way to do it a little bit more actively, for instance. Grammarly will also check your grammar and sentence structure and help make suggestions to make your writing a lot more concise and clear, and you can communicate with others a lot more effectively. A lot of times when you communicate in the business world, your introductory communication is always judged by someone for formality and for sort of professionalism. That's where Grammarly can come in. It can help you give feedback on what you're writing and help improve your communication so that people think you are as brilliant as we know you are. If you need a formal tone that's aimed at experts, Grammarly will help you sound like a pro. If you'd like to strike a more friendly tone, Grammarly can do that as well. And Grammarly can, again, work on the confidence of voice. So instead of asking nicely, you are assertively saying what you need, but saying it nicely. You can take the stress out of getting the words right with Grammarly. And right now, our listeners get 20% off Grammarly Premium at grammarly.com/invest. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/invest. Now, I have a friend who started to use this because she felt like she just wasn't very good with her like professional profile when she was talking to other people, because she used a lot of sort of youngish words or slang type diction. And she said, now I can't be without it. It really helps me make my point and not feel as unconfident when I send my messages. And so she makes sure that she installs it in every new device. It's her first download. You'll fall in love with it too. Head on over to grammarly.com/invest. Thank you so much for their support of the show. And thank you for your patience.
All right, let's talk about social media censorship. So social media companies have been going to great length over the past few years to censor speech. And there was a lot of concern, you know, that when Jack Dorsey stepped down as CEO of Twitter, even though, of course, he took President Trump off of the platform and did his own round of censorship, that at least he was at some point a level-headed CEO. And the concern when Jack Dorsey left was, holy smokes, the cat is out of the bag. Pandora's box is open. Any other idioms we can think of that censorship at Twitter is just going to accelerate? And lo and behold, it certainly has over the past month or so since he's left. But also, we're getting a look at what lengths Facebook goes to censor content. John Stossel, in fact, sued Facebook. John Stossel, my old friend and co-worker at Fox, a longtime ABC News veteran.
I've watched him for years.
Like he's a funny guy. Like he's a little awkward personally. Like as a personal friend, I would say he's a little wacky. But
don't look at me. I'm not going to help you with that statement.
But anyway, I mean, I've hung out at John Stossel's house, and then like we both have actually. And he's a funny guy, and he's very focused on this type of overreach by these companies, you know, and squashing speech, and so he sued Facebook because they censored him. And so here's what he had to say on that issue about what he uncovered when he sued Facebook. Take a listen to John Stossel's piece on Facebook.
Accuse all of us of spreading misinformation. But really,
the people guilty of spreading misinformation are Facebook and its fact checkers.
To do the fact checking, Facebook partners with groups like these, all of them approved by something called the Poynter Institute. It calls itself a global leader in journalism and claims it has
a commitment to nonpartisanship and fairness.
But they're hardly nonpartisan. Just look at their website, their eagerness to honor left-leaning reporters, and their push to decolonize the media and change language shows their leftist bias. Poynter once even apologized after it tried to blacklist conservative news sites. Yet absurdly, this is who Facebook partners with to certify who will censor.
So he
had to sue to get that information.
Right, because what came out at the trial, Facebook then basically said, hey, these fact checkers that we've now employed, that we say that we are checking your facts. Turns out these fact checkers, Facebook admitted during trial, are opinion-based fact checkers.
So there were go ahead.
I was going to say, my friend who's an investigative journalist, Ben Swan, he had a lot of his posts taken down, and he cited all his sources and his research and data in his post just for that reason. And then when he tried to fight it, the fact checkers had no sources to cite back to him. They just said it was misinformation. Even though he shared study after study with them, they didn't care.
Yeah. Well, the two videos at hand for the John Stossel trial were one about climate change as it relates to the wildfires, and the other, I can't remember at this point, but they both said that after they had sent these to actual fact checkers, none of these organizations found anything wrong. They just didn't like their tone. So Facebook reserves the right to take down information under this fact checker label or umbrella, but really it's because the tone wasn't liberal enough, I suppose.
Right.
They didn't like it and they took it down, and they say we reserve the right to do so because we are opinion based.
Right. So it's right? Opinion. So what you're saying is, so it's the facts according to us, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like no shirt, no shoes, no service. It's like, it's just at their discretion.
Right.
It's like, you know, yeah, you might have like, you know, flip flops on. We can still see your feet, but we'll let you in. You know, No, I was just going to say, it's just arbitrary.
Yeah. Interestingly, when the lawsuit was brought, Facebook asked for it to be dismissed under Section 230 of the Communications Dependency Act, which protects them from liability for material posted to the platform. But what was at issue was their posting, not something. So they are not supposed to be sued for something someone else posts, right? But they posted it. So why would they think that they should be shielded from their own posting, meaning that they are impervious? They're God?
I guess they are God. I mean, and this is why, you know, I've been doing stories on my other YouTube channel on youtube.com/ClaytonMorris about Web 3.0, the rise of the metaverse exactly, but Web 3 specifically, because a decentralized internet where you don't have Google, Amazon, or Facebook running the web, right? The whole point of Web 3.0 is the idea that the internet could be disintermediated, separated from these big tech giants, and in the hands of the people. So you'd have an internet where without Google censoring what you search or telling you where to go and YouTube pulling videos. Every day we do this show, I get done with the show and there's some issue, like YouTube has flagged something that we've said in the show, some issue with our show. Every day there's something. And I mean, it just continues relentlessly. And so that's where this media, words are in the hand of big media right now.
I shared a meme that was a thing of hot dogs that was the Oscar Mayer Halloweenies, and it was like black licorice hot dogs. It was a joke, a meme, and they took it down as false information.
I got into Facebook jail once because someone of my friends said they loved the movie French Kiss with Meg Ryan. And I put like in the comment section a quote from the movie, "All men are B-A," you know the word. I'm not going to say it.
Okay, don't say it because we'll get flagged.
And like, I just wrote it because it was a quote from the movie. It was my favorite line. And I got flagged for a week. I couldn't post. And I was like, can you look at this in context? I'm not saying all men are those things. I'm saying that's the line from the movie, meaning like, yeah, girl, I like it too. And I'm in Facebook jail. So stupid.
Well, the New York Post this morning has an inside look at the hypocrisy of these media manipulators. There's George Soros. I don't know if we didn't cover it here on the show. I didn't have space for it a few weeks ago, but they're launching this new disinformation media source, George Soros, spending $65 million to launch this newly organized Project for Good Information. George Soros is going to fight fake news wherever it roams. As Recode reported, the group's marketing materials claim, quote, traditional media is failing. Disinformation is flourishing. It's time for a new kind of media. So it's run by a Democratic operative whose company acronym created the app that bungled the Iowa Democratic caucuses back in November 2020. Remember that? Or back in 2020.
Pete Buttigieg was part of that app.
Oh, what a disaster. So that's who's going to run this thing? But now, $65 million to blast disinformation. Thank you, George Soros. Like, we now know we're going to go after this disinformation thanks to these billionaires.
You know, I have to think about this John Stossel case, that he said specifically that the government was partly to blame for these wildfires. And Facebook took it down. Now, the government and Facebook pretend that they are not best buds, but they are. Mm-hmm. The government absolutely wants consolidated power in the hands of fewer companies. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg famously wrote that he welcomed more regulation and higher minimum wage, which, what does that do? It squashes his competition, right? So mm-hmm. he supports anything that will make it harder for small businesses to compete with him. So the two of them are like this. So of course Facebook's gonna take down anything that has any government. I'm not saying the government's to blame for wildfires, but John Stossel absolutely has the right to be critical of the way the government handled them. And you also can make the point that climate change is a result of government mismanagement. I don't care what the point is here. I'm not going to make his point. I'm going to say he has the right to say it. And it's interesting that Facebook then is taking the government line here.
Well, and President Trump I'm not siding with President Trump, but President Trump, the president of the United States, specifically criticized California's government and mismanagement of wildfires and forestry. Yes. Of course, then there was the criticism that, well, a lot of this was federal land. So it's not California, it's federal government underneath President Trump. But government, regardless, state or federal, it doesn't matter for mismanagement of our forests, right? So it's a discussion worth having, but Facebook then can pull that down. Well, we're seeing some of this already on Twitter, by the way. By the way, the other day I was on Twitter and we were talking about war, right, here on the show, and how these media companies thrive off of war, right? That's how they make their money. So they want war. They absolutely want a war in Ukraine. And what did I see? But I saw a Washington Post tweet that showed that said war coming to Ukraine, 180,000 troops, mm-hmm. like war imminent. It was a Washington Post tweet. But guess what? It was a promoted tweet. So Washington Post paid ad dollars to Twitter to promote their war tweet. Like it was promoted at the bottom. Like they paid ad to promote their war tweet. And then now Twitter has added this new feature where if you're reading a conversation about a potentially controversial topic, they will put this little flag at the bottom. Some conversations can get heavy. Don't forget the human behind the screen.
What does that mean? Well, be nice to them?
I don't even know. I mean, this is a Glenn Greenwald, who's a great journalist, tweet about Oliver Stone's new documentary about JFK. And so they flagged it.
Have you ever gotten that thing yet where like I was doing a post and I said, because somebody said something, I just used the STFU. And it says, are you really sure you want to say that? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I wouldn't have typed it otherwise.
Right. Yeah. I haven't had that happen yet because I don't type those types of things. No, I'm just kidding. I would.
Yes, you do. There have been plenty of times where Clayton posts something and I think it's too aggressive. I'm like, honey, come on. Do Natalie you want to be that guy?
Who are you yelling at on Twitter?
Right.
Like, okay. Yeah. Like here's the tweet.
I do censorship in my own household of my husband's social network.
That's true. Look at this. So this is the tweet.
You could be a fact checker.
This is the Washington Post tweet. U.S. warns offensive against Ukraine as soon as early next year. 175,000 troops promoted.
Wonder how much of the war, but maybe that was a subsidized post from us.
Right.
Very well could be.
Exactly. But, you know, this is the way that the media operates. And so this is why I'm so encouraged by the idea of a decentralized internet, a Web 3.0, you know, getting it out of the hands of these few media elites.
Well, keep in mind, Build Back Better will really help these media companies by giving them major tax breaks. So you guys, more of that coming your way.
Good.
To a screen near you.
Good. All right, let's move along here. Speaking of the mainstream media, let's talk about hypocrites over at CNN. Oh, my friends over at CNN constantly saying ridiculous things.
You're cracking me up.
Thanks.
You know what's so funny? I had a dream last night that I took over for Chris Cuomo. That originally it was you taking over, and then they said the powers that be were like, they don't want a white male, so your wife's doing it. And I was like, okay.
Let me just say this. No, I would never work at CNN. I will never work at a mainstream media organization.
Well, me neither, but they wouldn't have me when I tried. So that's easy.
But they didn't want a white
now.
Male like me. Well, apparently they love Don Lemon. And I guess, Chris Cuomo is out. We've got all sorts of scandals and problems plaguing CNN. Well, Don Lemon yesterday decided that, you know what? His network is so good, is the arbiter of morality in America, that it's time for the White House to put an end to Fox News being in the White House press corps, that CNN should be there, but Fox News shouldn't be able to ask tough questions of Jen Psaki in the White House press briefing room. Listen to Don Lemon's take on this.
We know all of this. Why does Jen Psaki even continue to call on Fox in the briefing room? And I mean, they've been very courteous and I should say, kind, because if your network is promoting BS and lies about what is actually happening in the country and helping to inspire and incite an insurrection, why should they even be able to take part in a legitimate press briefing, in legitimate journalism?
Yeah, it's so tough because there are reporters still at Fox, very few, and very few getting airtime, and the last real good one just left the building.
Same question, Brian. Even though she makes a very good point, even though they have vaccine rules and mask rules and mandates at their own places of business, but why the question about why did they even allow Fox to pretend in the briefing room that they're a real news organization?
Well, I think we'd say historically you got to keep as broad an opening of the press corps as possible, let in as many voices as possible, even let in cranks. And there's been a lot of cranks in the briefing room in the past, not Fox, but just randos that are able to come to the briefing. I think historically that's been the approach. Let as many people in as you can possibly fit in the room. But today at the briefing, what did Fox ask about? The Christmas tree being set ablaze, which was awful last week. And I was really disturbed to see it. But no one thinks that's the top 10 story in America today, except at Fox News.
And yet you guys are still talking about the insurrection.
Recognize it for what it is. And you've been documenting it, Don. We've been trying to document
No. They spent 4 years talking about Russia. They spent 4 years talking about misinformation and lying to the American people. So CNN is the most trusted name in news, right? Look, maybe we should have a broader discussion, I think, about who's even allowed into that White House press briefing room anyway. People that have access, people that pay for access, big media companies that have billionaires running them, right? Why? Maybe we should start having independent journalists go into the White House press briefing room.
You know, if you're a real journalist, you should want more journalists in the building. You should welcome any and all access, right? And so CNN is shooting itself in the foot by pretending that some people should be censored, because then they will have to apply they'll have to play by the same rules, right? So as soon as they say something that the White House doesn't like, then they will lose their credentials
That happened. Glenn Greenwald points out CNN threw a gigantic hissy fit when the Trump White House revoked the press credentials of Jim Acosta for a few days on the grounds that he is a liar. Remember, President Trump called him out and said, that's fake news. They acted as if he were getting the Assange treatment. Now Don Lemon is explicitly advocating that Fox be banned completely from White House briefings.
Well, you know, most businesses discuss ways to crush their competition. They're just doing it on live television.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's like, it's bad business, but it's how it's done. At least we get to see that that's what they want. They want their competition to be not let into the room.
And the thing is also, if they do get out of line, Biden just has a meeting with them and tells them, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what he, and that, yeah, David's talking about a meeting that President Biden had about 2 weeks ago with the media, basically saying, hey, the coverage of me has been pretty bad. So let's tone it down a little bit. Knock it off. But even, you know, Don Lemon, maybe Don Lemon forgot about some of his tweets back in 2018. CNN sues President Trump and top White House aides for barring Jim Acosta, Don Lemon tweeted. Oh, really? So I guess, well, okay. I guess if it's good for you, though, right, it's okay, but not for Fox. CNN Trump lawsuit hearing. Judge orders White House to return Jim Acosta's press pass. CNN, hashtag journalism.
I mean, just last week, Don Lemon was accused of trading text messages with Jesse Smollett.
Right.
And so he was inappropriately involved in a story, and he's going to lecture us about journalistic ethics.
Yeah. He's going to tell us, again, they're the arbiters. They're the arbiters of what's true in America. And how can Jen Psaki continue to call on a Fox News reporter, if they're going to continue to spread lies about what's happening in the country?
And you are allowed to ask questions that other people think are silly, such as about the Christmas tree.
Right.
Fine. You want to ask about it. But let's not pretend, because Peter Ducey does otherwise ask serious questions.
Yeah. I mean,
he's not an idiot.
No, he's not an idiot. And he knows he's stirring the pot. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's stirring the pot there sometimes. He's famously was kind of burst onto the scene back when before even my day, when he asked some tough questions of John McCain. Mm-hmm. Back in the day. He's not afraid to ask some tough questions. But, I just kind of come back to the 30,000 foot level. That room holds like 60 people. It's a small room, the White House press briefing room. It's a very small room. And they've retrofitted it and expanded it over the years, but it's still a very small room. And the people that are in that room are big media corporation paid access to get there. Associated Press, MSNBC, Reuters. CNN, Reuters, the BBC. Like, these are all big billionaire media corporations that get to sit in that room and disseminate information. Wouldn't it be great if we had Jimmy Dore, Glenn Greenwald? Yeah. Why doesn't Glenn Greenwald be invited? Why don't we get invited to the White House press briefing room to ask questions? That would be, maybe that's a better move. Maybe,
they could do it. They could bring in, And they worry about unfiltered questions too, because then you just get people, putting like boob emojis or whatever on the screen.
I don't know about that. I think I would love to have tough questions asked that aren't the same. They're all, they're all part of this little group culture there in Washington, D.C. They all hang out together. Like, it's no secret, what
of
these
course.
Guys do.
They always play right to her talking points. It's not like she doesn't have talking points prepared before she goes in there.
Oh, she has a whole folder.
Anything that she doesn't know that's coming.
she has a whole folder that she flips to, you know, when someone asks that question. So when someone asks about, you know, Cuba, she goes right to the C tab and she flips it over. About Ukraine, she flips it over. So she went right to that the other day when she was asked specifically about Lindsey Graham's questions. She pulled up the Lindsey Graham tab and she had a pre-prepared thing ready to say it right in front of it.
All right. So if that dream was a reality CNN comes knocking, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Because no way. They are self-righteous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Full disclosure, I did want to work there in my 30s, but not anymore. You missed your chance. I'm going to act like the woman scorned. Before right. I do that, shall we talk about our show sponsor over at Public?
Let's do that. Public, one of my favorite trading apps. And it's not just a trading app. It's a great platform that teaches you about investing while you invest. It's a social media of sorts because it's a social media platform of sorts where you can follow your favorite investors who happen to have an account on Public like I do. I'm on there. Go follow me. And when I make a trade, you can see that I've made the trade. It pops right up in your newsfeed. And I can explain why I made a trade. Either I sold something, I bought something, and you can choose to do more research on that particular stock or crypto. They have crypto inside of Public as well. You can do stocks and crypto. And it's, you know, it's, the thing is, it's so difficult to get started and confusing to get started investing because Wall Street wants to kind of keep you stupid. You know, that's the goal. And there's so many barriers to getting started, especially with cryptocurrency. It's kind of hard with all the U.S. regulations, but how do you do it? Well, on public.com, you can start with very small, and you can actually buy slices of shares, slices of stocks. Instead of buying like a full Tesla stock, you can buy a fraction of that. So you don't have to have a lot of money to get started. You can start with like $5 if you want. And you can get up to $50 in free stock, just a slice of free stock, just for signing up. Start investing with as little as $1. Actually, $1. I said $5. You can start with as little as $1 and get a free slice of stock up to $50 when you join public.com today. All you need to do is go to public.com/morning to download the app, sign up using the code morning. This is public.com/morning and use the code morning. It's great. You can get the big picture with curated themes that let you navigate the market the way that you want to see the world. You can invest with built-in educational features that help you learn as you go and invest safely with volatility reminders that let you know investments like crypto are a little riskier. I invested in a stock a few months ago and it gave me a warning. It said, hey, this is a volatile stock. Are you sure you want to do that? And I said, yeah, I do, because I know what I'm doing. But it's helpful for people just getting started. You might say, oh, maybe I don't want to do that. But why don't you sign up today and get $50, get up to $50 in free slices of stock when you join public.com today. Our thanks to them for supporting the show. All right.
All right. Filmmaker Oliver Stone says that the government's hiding something when it comes to the JFK assassination documents and points to evidence that every president that gets into office continues to say, we're going to wait, we're going to wait, we're going to wait. Now, yeah. There are deadlines approaching and they continue to approach and expire. The next deadline is December of 2022. One had already passed and President Biden said, no, actually, we need more time. It's interesting to note that in 1992, President Biden was part of a Senate decision in which he voted to pass the JFK Records Collection Act. So before he actually had seen the documents, he wanted them. But that was 20 years ago. He doesn't seem to want them now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with these presidents, right? We keep hearing from presidents that they are going to open up these documents, right? They are going to release the documents surrounding the Warren Commission. Which, by the way, we now know if you watch this Oliver Stone new documentary, it's a fascinating look at after he released the Kevin Costner JFK film. Like, what was the fallout? Well, there was a couple of big things that happened. One, it ruined his career. He was vilified by Hollywood and liberal establishment, like vilified him. So he was sort of excommunicated from Hollywood. And then also, the House of Representatives did an investigation and reopened the case, which was huge, and actually found that the Warren Commission report was a joke, was a crock, and actually confirmed that there was a conspiracy. The House of Representatives concluded a conspiracy, that it wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, that there was more people involved in that. That's huge. That's what Oliver Stone managed to do, is get the House of Representatives in their report to admit that, yes, the Warren Commission report was a joke. And by the way, there was a conspiracy, but it still ruined his career. He was asked about these documents, like, why are they not releasing these documents? And a great interview over in the Gray Zone. Listen to what he had to say about this on the Red Line show.
In the 80s, there's a ton of information there. Who knows where it is? Files are important, but of course they, you can shred files, they can lose files. The Secret Service, certainly the Secret Service shredded. The committee asked them in 95 specifically for files on the assassination planning in Tampa and in Chicago, and the Secret Service destroyed those files right there. It's illegal action, and they got away with it.
Totally got away with it. Totally got away with it. And so, you know, I just finished reading this book called Chaos, which looks at the 1960s counterculture and specifically what the CIA was doing in the 1960s and 70s among the counterculture in the Bay Area and setting up these groups, infiltrating these counterculture groups. There's a lot of question as to Charles Manson's association. Was he an informant for the CIA? Like, why are all those documents hidden? Why was that such a terrible prosecution job on Charles Manson? Why was all sorts of evidence withheld from the hearings? We now know, as CIA members, former CIA members, and people in the intelligence community have admitted the CIA's involvement in these counterculture infiltrations throughout the Bay Area, getting kids basically to smoke all kinds of drugs so that they could see what this culture was like and be a part of it. And to drive that sort of scruffy narrative so that government could come in and step in and provide some stability. Like, we're here, we're the government. See all these kids that are smoking LSD or doing LSD and all this acid dropping? We're going to step in and protect you. And he also breaks open the JFK assassination inside this book and looks at the involvement of the CIA in the JFK assassination. And so he reveals that there are very big signs that the CIA was absolutely involved in the assassination of JFK. And it says the reason specifically is because he didn't want to continue the wars in Vietnam and was undermining what the intelligence community was doing in Vietnam and Cuba specifically. And the evidence is pretty overwhelming.
And Russia.
This is exactly what you said earlier, people miss about Kennedy. And I think especially I find in discussing his case with people from my generation, they have this kind of simplistic way of viewing him where they say, oh, he was an imperialist. He expanded the Vietnam War. He oversaw the Bay of Pigs invasion. Why would the intelligence community want to get rid of him? What do you say to people?
Really, really quickly, I know you're interested in Latin American affairs, but he wouldn't go into Vietnam. But if he, his part of the logic is he refused to go and attack Cuba. That was the plan. Eisenhower had set that in motion. Bay of Pigs, he was supposed to have folded under pressure and actually ordered American troops in. He never did. Mm-hmm. So he made a huge amount of enemies. He destroyed the confidence of the military. And the CIA, they were ready to go into Cuba. This is very important to recognize. But if he didn't send troops to Vietnam, why would he send them to Cuba? He refused to send troops. And that was the reason he was killed, basically. And then in 1962, this story continues. Bay of Pigs was not over. By 62, in October, it becomes a crisis again, and the military is ready to invade. They were ready to invade through 1962. They wanted to go in. The world is on the edge of a nuclear war with Russia. And Kennedy is adamant he does not send American troops into Cuba. By the way, that would not have been easy either. People who have studied the situation said it would have been a mess if he had. It would have been like Iraq. But be that as it may, by sticking to those guns of being, I am not going to be a war president, I'm a peace president, and he fought for peace. That's what he was. He was not an imperialist. He had troops on the, he had advisors in Vietnam because he was, the whole gist of American foreign, you had to be elected in 1960. The way to get elected, you had to be a Cold Warrior. You had to be, there was no choice. But he, in the course of his 3 years, became a warrior for peace. And that is what people from your generation have to understand.
And he goes on to say that the military industrial complex, I mean, he was going up against this massive military industrial complex, which Eisenhower had warned us about. In the waning days of his presidency.
So I've never seen that movie. Have you?
JFK?
Yeah.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, the original.
And so do you think it holds up in the light of all of this information since?
I think it does. I mean, I haven't seen it in years now. I saw it years after it came out. I have the DVD actually sitting over there. I have the deluxe edition of it. I want to rewatch it now. And as David was talking about earlier, this new documentary that is called Revisited, looking through the Looking Glass, his new JFK Revisited documentary that's out now, which shows overwhelmingly that
the movie poster is right there. Just pull it up and keep it frozen.
Where?
Right there where you are.
This?
Yeah.
I remember reading in the book.
Just pause it.
Okay.
There we go. We'll look at it so we know what to look for when we look for it on our screens.
Yeah. That's a book by James Douglas.
Oh, that's not it.
No, no.
Sorry. I interrupted you for nothing.
Yeah, that's okay.
Carry on, please.
But anyway, the documentary is called JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. And, you know, in the documentary, it breaks down the likelihood that the CIA was absolutely involved, and so was the mob, organized crime. I mean, how do you get Jack Ruby, who never, I mean, literally, inside of a jail to go after and plot to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, like inside just days afterwards, like inside the jail cell. I mean, it's really fascinating, and I just don't know why we haven't released these documents. I mean, if you want to think about it, the reason we haven't released the documents, just follow. It's a simple line, right? Isn't Occam's razor, right? The simplest explanation is usually the yes. one that's right, right? So the simplest explanation, the why they're not releasing these documents, is that it would absolutely undermine our intelligence community that the CIA was intimately involved with the death of a president.
Yes.
I mean, what more can you need? What more do you need?
I'm not saying yes, I believe that. I don't have enough information, but yes, that is what would happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's been so many stains on... did we lose David, by the way?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay. The music disappeared, so I thought I heard like the feed.
Yeah, I turned the music off because we couldn't hear Oliver.
Oh, okay. I just thought that section of the video went quiet. But anyway, yeah. So you said, David, before the show started that Oliver Stone's going to re-release. There's going to release a full amount of these videos, right?
Yeah, it's basically like a director's cut kind of thing in January.
Of all, yeah. So
obviously, his concern is that there's something here, and not enough people care to demand it, and that the White House can do this with very little consequence, right? Because mm-hmm. there's only so many people who are really worried about this. Most of us need to go about our day and raise our kids. So this is his project to raise awareness and demand transparency from our government, and this is why he says it matters.
Yeah, and Glenn Greenwald pointed out in a tweet just yesterday, he's friends with Oliver Stone, obviously, because a movie about him, but he said, in 1991, Oliver Stone was the most celebrated director in Hollywood, having won 2 Oscars in 4 years. Instead of cashing in, he used his platform to make JFK, the first mainstream cultural product to question the official JFK narrative. He was pilloried and destroyed for it. And he goes on to say, the vicious reaction to that film on the part of the corporate media, corporate press, was insane. Go read it. But it resulted in opening up the archives. His new documentary, JFK Revisited, leaves no doubt for any rational person that the Warren Commission story is a lie, a cover-up. Even Stone's critics admit that this new documentary destroys the lone shooter Oswald theory, which the U.S. government fed to the public for years. The film doesn't try to answer who actually killed JFK, but I urge everyone to watch it and decide for yourselves. So, did the CIA kill President John F. Kennedy? Let us know in the chat what you think about that.
All right. Well, let's wrap up the show with what's trending. This is the part where we tell you what's going on the internet, and you can participate if you'd like or tell us what you think. Candace Parker is trending. She is a WNBA star. She announced Tuesday that she is expecting a baby with her wife. That one.
Oh, you put these in?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was running late today, but I do have my elements ready. Okay, hashtag student loan forgiveness is trending because forgiveness on things like student loans and auto loans and other debt services that had been on hold during the pandemic will not, I repeat, not be extended by the president into the new year. So most of these back loans come due in just a few weeks. Recall that you still will be charged for what you owe in the past. The amount of money you did not pay for the last year and a half or so will still be due. It will just be tacked on to your new loan. So people are kind of freaking out that the president and the administration did not extend it, but he did give fair warning saying he did not plan to do that. Analog Pocket is trending. That is a new Game Boy-like console that's coming soon to nostalgia lovers everywhere. And apparently will be back compatible with all of these legacy games.
I watched a review of this. I'm excited about this.
Are you?
Yeah. And it can play like old Game Boy Advance games. What's cool about it is that, Game Boy Advance games, well, this screen is 10 times the resolution of the original Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
So any old games that you loved playing on like Game Boy Advance, like now will look so much better.
Can you use your old cartridges?
Yeah. So it's all old cartridge compatible.
But
that's good of them to do. That's awesome.
One review, though, said, and they loved it, the matte finish of it. The screen is great. One weird little thing, I think it's a minor thing, is that see how when you hold it, the back thumb buttons, your fingers are like kind of holding the cartridge in place. Like it's kind of weird that you know. But anyway, who cares, right? But that
if
was
you got one, big fingers,
I guess. But I'm excited about it. And you can use that control pad, or it works with Bluetooth. So if you've got one of those old other kind of like Bluetooth compatible gamer, controllers, you could play it with it as well.
Cool.
Santa Claus.
Okay, and finally, Kroger is trending because the grocery chain is pulling COVID benefits and adding insurance charges for unvaccinated employees. So if you've been working there as an emergency worker and you get COVID, but you have refused the vaccine, you will not get paid time off. And in your company-provided insurance, you will now have surcharges. And obviously, people have things to say about this.
Yeah, so thank you for standing on the front lines and selling cheese balls to people as a frontline worker, as an essential worker during the pandemic. But now that you don't have a vaccine, maybe even you've had COVID, we're going to take away your health and benefits.
Well and we also surcharge your insurance.
Right.
We had a viewer send us a message that said they were getting charged an extra $25 every 2 weeks on their insurance because they weren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
Wow. So $50 a month.
Your scarlet letter. All right. Check out my other YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/ClaytonMorris because over there I've been following what's happening in the investing world, tracking the latest news from the investing perspective. We're going to have an update today on what Jerome Powell says about the federal interest rates and inflation rates, as well as what's going on in the world of crypto. That's youtube.com/ClaytonMorris. And David, where can people find you?
I am over at youtube.com/OverlandGeeks, and I just got my router yesterday that holds 2 cellular modems, so I'm going to start practicing being able to stream from the road with mobile data. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, like geeky technology on mobile streaming and stuff, come join me. And then, Natalie, I got your Goodreads up here, so...
Yeah. If you want to see what I'm reading, remember, I'm going to read nicer things this Christmas for the holiday. You can go to goodreads.com/NatalieMorris.
All right, everyone. Grover is running around here somewhere, being a little punk. So he is, where is his shop?
We had a furniture delivery and he was trying to eat the guy. Oh, he got tired of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The furniture delivery came and that's what you heard him yelling. Barking. Was.
Oh, okay.
He was trying to eat that guy.
Didn't work. He's still tiny. All right. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Peace out, everyone.